are bringing the scriptures to life through a short nativity play. And so you'll be seeing Joseph and Jesus and Mary. You'll be seeing the angels and all of those things. And, you know, we'll be able to really connect with the true meaning. But we're going to start it off in a little bit of a different way because a lot of us might be wondering sometimes, man, what was going through Joseph's mind? You know, we don't necessarily get a lot of that around the holiday season because he was going through it. He had to wrestle with some things. And then we obviously know he comes on board. But we're going to start it off like that, seeing what Joseph is going through, and then we'll see the progression of the nativity story, and then also be thinking to ourselves, what does that mean for me? And so give to you right now a dramatic presentation, a short nativity play called This Changes Everything.
Too big. How could she be doing this? Why is she doing this? Could she? No, she doesn't seem like the kind of woman that would. But pregnant? Pregnant. Oh. And with the Holy Spirit? What does that even mean? It's the Holy Spirit. Mary, 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 how could this be happening? Said she trusts in God. It's all part of his amazing plan. Tell you what, it's not part of my plan. Talk to me about it. Had different plans. Supposed to get married before you get pregnant, right? Supposed to not have the village shame you and your family. Everyone's going to be talking about this. Supposed to live a normal life after this. What is this? What is this piece for? I don't know. I'm gonna have to end it. I have to end the marriage. I mean, she seems like a very sweet, kind-hearted, good girl. So I certainly just don't want to throw her underneath the wagon. So we'll do it quietly. No one needs to know. And especially about all this talk about the Spirit of God coming down on her and conceiving a child. The Messiah? Are you kidding me? This can't be happening, right? Right? What if she's telling the truth? I mean, we have been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years. But no one even knows where he's going to come from or what he's going to do. Some say he's going to be from the descendants of David and be born in Bethlehem and from the line of David. I am from the line of David, but seriously, me? The father of the Messiah? And I mean, is he even really my son? Think about how's that going to work itself out. This is crazy. This is crazy. This thing, I don't even know what I'm making. Oh, God, Adonai. I've tried to keep all of your statutes and your commands and Torah and Sabbath. Please help me. Help me to see if this is really from you. Because I don't want to turn her in, because if I turn her in to the synagogue leaders, something bad will happen to her. But I also don't want to go against your commands. Oh, please help me, lead me, guide me, show me the way, show me your way. I can't even work right now. I know, I gotta sleep on it. I'll get some rest, and everything will be better in the morning. That's right. Let me sleep on it, and I'll take care of it tomorrow.
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. As the Lord has said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Mary, there you are.
Joseph, what are you doing here?
I meant to tell you that.
Look. I know what you're gonna say. I know you don't want to have anything to do with me, and I know you don't believe me. And look.
No, Mary.
I understand it. Okay, I understand it. I know what this means, and I know what people will think. I know that it sounds crazy, but an angel did come to me and tell me that God, through his Spirit, would give me this child, a son, the Messiah, and that he would rule on David's throne.
Same!
Same.
Yes! The same thing happened to me last night. An angel of the Lord came to me in a dream, and he told me that this child, our child, will be the savior of the world. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's a lot for me to carry.
For you to carry? You.
No, I mean, not me, Carrie. I mean, how are you doing about all of it?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I mean, it's very unexpected, but it's so amazing. I'm so thankful to Adonai. It's exciting, it's humbling, it's scary.
Mary, I know what I said before, but this changes everything.
I know. Having a baby really does change everything.
No, people have babies. This literally baby here changes everything. Everyone. Nothing will be the same. We've been waiting for the Messiah for generations.
Oh, yes. This is what Isaiah talked about, and all of the prophets, and all of Torah.
I know. Listen, I don't know how or what he's gonna do. All I know is that nothing will be the same. The oppression of our people will be over.
He will scatter the proud and bring corrupt rulers down from their thrones. He will lift up the humble and lowly, showing mercy to our people.
Just as he promised our ancestors.
and all will be made new. Everyone will be blessed. I'm just not sure what everyone's going to think when they see me. They know we haven't been married.
Oh, no. But listen, we will get married. You will come home with me as my wife, just as we have planned.
Joseph, are you sure?
Am I sure? Mary, how could I not be? This is from God. Nothing is more important than this. Like I said, this changes everything. So I'm in this with you and him for the rest of my life.
No, for the rest of our lives. It's all about him.
It's all about him.
So what do we do now?
Don't worry. I'm going to take care of it. Here, sit here. The emperor has decreed that all families go back to their hometown because of the census. So we'll go back to Bethlehem, the town of our father and ancestor, David.
So we're doing this together.
Together, the three of us.
Thank you.
To Bethlehem.
To Bethlehem.
God shall be with us, Yeshua, our God saves. Can it be his eternal plan coming now in this child? Help you with a plan to bring your son and change everything. Yeah, this changes everything.
My Amen. Let's give it up for our orchestra and our choir. Let's thank Marie and Chris for that incredible performance. You know, Chase and Chris actually wrote that, and Chase wrote that last song for us. It's a North River original. So thank you, everyone, so much for using your gifts and helping us take us to the foot, not the cross, but to the foot of the manger. Amen? Why don't you look at the person to your left or to your right and say, this changes everything. This changes everything. It's great to be together this morning. You can flip into your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be going through a couple passages here before we look at communion. And it's been a great Christmas service. You know, the only thing not Christmas going on is my outfit. I tried to convince Toya that, you know, white was a Christmas color, but, you know, it didn't really work out. I didn't get the red memo, but there you go. Oh, thank you, bro. Thank you. Thank you. Should I put this on? We didn't plan that at all. I'm not doing that. All right, Philippians 2. And what we're going to do, we just looked through, you know, with that incredible performance, the story of how Jesus came to life. And so instead of reading that again, what we're going to do is look at other passages that talk about the meaning or the importance of that moment. So we'll pick up here in Philippians 2 and verse 6. It says, Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You know, that play that we just experienced wasn't just a normal everyday birth, but it was an almighty being giving up everything so that he could come and live with us in human likeness. You know, today we celebrate, or Christmas we celebrate. It's the most amazing event in all of human history. The eternal, the omnipresent, the infinitely holy Son of God took on a human nature to be with us and to live among us. You know, so often when we think about God's love for us, we point straight to the cross, and rightly so. But today, I want you to think about something else. Today, I want you to ask yourself, would it have taken Jesus more love to give up his human self and die for us on the cross? Or would it have taken Jesus more love to give up his heavenly being self to become human for us? And what I hope to put before you is that when we walk out of here and during this Christmas season, we don't just let the cross be one of our main motivators, but we let the Emmanuel be one of our main motivators. And that the fact that God was willing to make himself nothing becomes a daily part of our walk with God. Amen? And so one of my favorite illustrations in this is, about God becoming man is like you becoming an ant, okay? And so, you know, imagine if you became an Ant-Man. They didn't laugh at that at the 9 a.m. I appreciate the silent chuckle. You know what I mean? I got to get my dad joke in. But not that kind of ant, but of course this kind of ant, right? Where you go from being 6 feet to 6 millimeters. You go from an 80-year lifespan to an 8-week lifespan. You go from having a college degree and everything that you know with your brain to really only instinct of gathering and feeding. And the question is, what would you do for the person that you love most? Would you be willing to die for them? Would you be willing to become an ant for them? You know, you can look at your spouse or your best friend next to you. I don't know if you're willing to become an ant for that person. But that's actually not the right question. You see, God, the Son, he didn't become man because of his love for God the Father. God the Son became man because of his love for us, his love for the ant. So the question isn't, what would you be willing to do for the person you love most? The more appropriate question is, what would you be willing to do for an ant? Would you be willing to die for an ant? Would you be willing to become an ant just so you could be with them and show that you care? And yet this is the reality of what we're talking about with God becoming man, just millions of times over. Even though he was equal to God, he made himself nothing. The Almighty became the average. The all-knowing God became the ordinary, unschooled Galilean. The perfect became the imperfect. You know, what we celebrate on Christmas, we celebrate the immortal being becoming the mortal baby. And why would he ever do that? For the simple yet unexplainable reason that God could be with us and that we could know him. Amen? That is reason to celebrate, isn't it, church? Why don't you look to the person next to you and say, God is with you. God is with you. Emmanuel, it's what we really go after. And it's been inspiring for me, you know, as I've been studying this out, where so much of my daily walk can be linked back to the cross. When I'm tempted, the cross. Like at night, why do I still do this? The cross. In the morning, I'm going to follow God because of the cross. But I've been really, as I've been studying this, going, why isn't the incarnation right next to that? When I'm tempted, God became man for me. Okay, when in the morning, why am I gonna commit my life to him again? Because God became man for me. The love shown through God becoming human is something I don't think we talk about enough. And I hope that this Christmas can be a season where we can really connect with the reason for the season, right? Of God becoming man and how amazing that is. We're gonna go to John 1 and keep on talking about this. In John 1, there's this powerful passage that kind of gets at the goal of him becoming flesh. Let's read this together. In John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." It's talking about Jesus. "He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." This is insane. Jesus is literally billions of years old. He was there in the beginning of time creating everything. Everything that we see was created through Christ. And yet, the Word, Jesus, that incredible being became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And why did he do this? Why did he come down? Well, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in him, why did he do it? Well, he gave the right to become children of God. Not just children of other humans, but children of the Most High God. And coming out of the Old Testament, where it was God was just this foreign being that just gave us laws. He was the rule master. Or God was this distant being in the temple that I couldn't go near. Suddenly, through God coming down to be with us, we were able to be his children. And it changes everything. And so what I want to do for a second is ask you, what's the main way that you connect with God? What's the main type of relationship you have to God? And this is going to be a little bit of a reworking of Sky Jathani's book, With. But I just want to walk through for a moment a few different ways that we connect to God and really be able to zero in on Emmanuel this holiday season. Does that make sense? You with me? So we're going to use this illustration of an iceberg. We all know the iceberg, right? Anyone ever been on an iceberg before? Didn't think so. Okay, so the top 10%, right, is above the surface, but then 90% is below the surface. And what we're going to say is there's a way you connect to God that you see on the outward side of your life, but there's something so much deeper in your heart and in your soul that's going on. And we're going to evaluate that for a second before we take communion. Here we go. The first way to connect to God is the main way you connect to God, doing things for God. Is that the main way you connect to God? Well, when you do that with God, what does God become to you? He becomes your employer, where he's sending you to do things or sending you to care for people or sending you to help people, and you're just doing things for God. And while that might work for a while, over time, you start getting your worth from what you do instead of from who you are. And where does that lead to? Well, that leads to burnout, doesn't it? Have you been there before? Where your whole identity is built up in doing things for God and that just burns you out. So that's not the way we're connecting to God this holiday season. Let's look at another one. Is the main way you connect to God receiving from God? Where you're trying to get his blessings and you're trying to get him to take care of you. And in that situation, he becomes your ATM. Where you're just going to him for blessings. You're going to him from cash. You might say, my ATM doesn't give me much cash. That's okay, but just imagine for this illustration where that's a nice ATM, right? And you get a lot from him. And you might receive the good life from God, where his principles or his rules or his blessings really bless your life. But then it ends up you not having a deep inward relationship. And where does that lead to? Well, it leads to shallowness. And it leads to no depth, and then at the end of the day, it leads to no peace. Have you tried to get peace from the gifts before? And it ends up, if you try to get peace from the gifts you receive this holiday season, next January, you're going to be left wanting. And so we're not going to the gifts of God to be our main way of connection. We're going to the gift giver himself. Let's do one more before God with us. You guys with me? So what if the main way you connect to God is submitting under him? My main goal is submit under him, to follow him. If that's the main orientation, what ends up happening? Well, he becomes the rule master. Are you doing this? You got to do this. You did wrong. And then what that leads to is a life of fear-driven behavior modification. Where you're trying to do whatever you can just to change the outside, but it's out of fear. I don't want him to see that I'm doing something wrong. And then that leads to anxiety. And it leads to shame. I'm anxious, what does he think about me? I can never be confident in my walk with God. Or I'm shaming because I messed up and I know I'm in the doghouse now. Have you been there before? And this holiday season, we're saying the Emmanuel teaches us something. God becoming flesh teaches us something. It's not so that the first orientation isn't for us to do things for God. The first orientation isn't for us to receive from God. The first orientation isn't for us to submit under God. But the first orientation of our hearts to God this holiday season is to live life with God. Where he's not the taskmaster, he's not the employer, the ATM. No, he's our Father. And what happens is when he comes down, he gives us a chance to be his children, and we can have this deep, trust-filled relationship with God. And out of that, that leads to a life overflowing with love. And of course, it doesn't mean we don't want to do things for God, but no, we just orient it differently. That God is on a mission to save souls. So because I'm with him, I'm going to go with him. That God, whenever people are in his presence, he blesses them. So since I'm in his presence, that's my first orientation, then I get the blessings. Or God, Jesus is going that way, so I'm going to follow Jesus that way because I want to be with him. Everything else comes from life with God. Amen. And this holiday season, I just want to encourage you and put this on your mind to let your first orientation evaluate it. Is my first way I view God wanting to be with him, or is it other things? Amen. So two thoughts in closing. One, God wants to be with us over everything else, even in our darkest moments. I know the holidays for some of us can be really difficult. And whether you've lost loved ones, or maybe you're struggling with something intense, or you find yourself in a hole you're trying to get out of, God wants to be with you even in your darkest moments. Because if we had to get perfect for him to be with us, he never would have become man. But instead, he stepped into our humanity. And then number two, Jesus was willing to give up everything to be with us. So let's be willing to give up everything just to be with him. Amen? I'm going to say a prayer for our communion now, and then we'll be able to enjoy communion, being with Jesus in his presence. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful for who you are. Thank you for this moment that we're talking about when you were willing to give up your divine nature to become human. You were willing to give up your immortality to become mortal. And God, we recognize this morning the unfathomable truth that you just want to be with us over everything else. God, I pray as we take the bread that represents your body, and as we take the juice that represents your blood, that we can remember how much you long to be in our presence, and that through Jesus dying on the cross, that now we too can enter your presence. Thank you this holiday season for that little baby Jesus, because he represents God, Emmanuel, God wanting to be with us. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.